Welcome to Torah Tumecha Parsha with the Oyu Women's Initiative. My name is Hindi Mendelowitz, and this week is Parshat Bishalach. The Parsha begins with the Jews on the run from Egypt, joyously on the way towards Geula. They shortly find themselves trapped, with the raging sea ahead of them, and behind them Paro with murder in his eyes, chasing them to force them to return. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe to raise his staff over the water, and thus follows one of the most glorious nisim of our history, the splitting of the sea. The sea splits as the Jews pass through, then rages and falls back over the Egyptians who are drowned. Moshe and Klal Yisrael then sing the glorious song of Az Yashil, in praise and gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the desert, the people complain of thirst and of hunger. HaKadosh Baruch Hu miraculously sweetens the bitter waters at Marah, and later commands Moshe Rabbeinu to bring forth water from a rock by striking it with his staff. The Jews are miraculously fed with the man, which comes down from the heavens every single morning. At night, they are fed by the slav, quails, that appear in the Machane Israel in the camp. Moshe Rabbeinu commands the Jewish people to collect a double portion of the man on Friday, because none will come down on the Shabbat. There are Jews who disobey and go to gather the man on the seventh day, but they find nothing. A small quantity of man is preserved in a jar, a testimony right next to the Aron Kodesh for all future generations. The nation of Amalek attacks the Jewish people in Rephidim, and the Jews are led by Yoshua in battle against them, inspired by the upraised arms of Moshe Rabbeinu standing high above them. Let's circle back to that glorious song sung by the Jews in rapture after they beheld the nace of the splitting of the sea and the drowning of their Egyptian enemies. Parashat Bishalach, Perek Tetvav, Pasuk Aleph. Az Yashir Moshe Uvnei Yisrael, Es Hashira Hazos LaHashem, Vayimru Leimor, Ashira LaHashem Ki Ga'o Ga'a. Then Moshe and the Jewish people sang this song to God and began the song with, I will sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for He is mighty. And continuing on with the beautiful song, we continue to sing every single day. Many of the Mefarshim look at the introduction to the song, Az Yashir Moshe, Az then, Yashir Moshe, which we loosely translate as Moshe sang, but of course the sticklers amongst us notice that Yashir is actually a future tense. Az then, Yashir Moshe, Uvnei Yisrael, Moshe and Bnei Yisrael will sing. Clearly this is grammatically inconsistent, and it's here that many of the Mefarshim stop and lead us on a journey. Let's go. Says Rashi, in explaining the inconsistency between past and future, Az then, Kishera'a ha'nes, when Moshe beheld the nes, Ala bilibo sheyashir shira. He decided in his heart, it occurred to him, that he would sing a song. Then, in the past when it happened, he decided that he would sing this song. Similar to the comment of the Sforno over there, Hiskim sheyashir. He decided, past tense, that he would sing future. Which seems to address the grammar over here and the battling tenses, but at least to the question asked by the Gur Aryeh, the Pirush of the Maharal on Rashi. Asks he, every action that we take was initiated by a prior decision. We think it through, we decide, then we act. Hopefully, there was some thought that came before. Says the Gur Aryeh, why over here is it stressed? First he thought, and then he did. Doesn't every action begin with a decision? And the Gur Aryeh explains Rashi's words over here as, this song was not a forced action. This was not the brain of the Jew at the Yam saying to him, we should sing. Rather, says the Gur Aryeh, Po'al shel hashira hi belev, kasher yagia hasimcha belev shel hatzadikim, ole belibam hashira. This was a spontaneous overflow. Oz, what happened in the past is that seeing the nes, seeing the miracle that had happened, the Jews were overwhelmed with simcha, with joy. The overflow of the joy led to a swell of song. In other words, as the Gur'ayah is explaining the words of Rashi, and thus also of the Sforno, there's a link here of the Shira as the natural overflow of the Neshama on beholding the Nes. This was not the Jews saying, the appropriate thing to do now would be, as we train our children to say please and thank you, would be to sing. Rather, as there was indescribable joy in their hearts, an exultation at the Nes that had occurred. That joy was too wide and too deep and too big to fit within the confines of a Jew, and so it overflowed in joyous song. Let's notice that the specific wording of Rashi is Kishera'a Hanes. When Moshe Rabbeinu saw the Nes, Ala Belibo, then occurred this phenomenon just described by the Gur'ayah, that the joy in his heart led to an overflow of song. In Tanakh, Shira, song, this natural overflow of the Neshama, very often is linked, is the reaction to a Nes, to a miracle. It is explained that Shira, song, can be derived from the Lashon of Shil. A Shil can be a collar. It's always a round implement, put around the neck of an animal, but the significant feature here is that circular shape. Song is the overflow of the Neshama, not just at any point in time, but it's very often the overflow when we see things coming full circle. In an idea that's explained beautifully by Rav Yitzchak Kirzner in his masterful book on Tefillah, The Art of Jewish Prayer, Rav Kirzner explains that the song of the Jews at the sea was not just the joy of a nation that was saved from a violent enemy. It was deeper than that. It was rounder than that. Standing at the Yam and viewing their salvation, they realized not only that God had chosen to save them, they realized also that the previous 210 years of servitude, of torture, of pain, had all been necessary, justified, and now elevated, because it was those 210 years that brought them to this point. This glorious miracle could never have happened to this degree had they not experienced everything that came before. And in a way that we as humans are not always privy to, almost from the balcony view, you see things coming full circle. Where things that in the past seemed so painful, and where in the past there was the big question of why, and instead of a song, there was perhaps a jagged tear or a cry. The song is what erupts or overflows when things fall into place, when there's a harmony of all the chords coming together, and we can finally look back and perceive how everything that we endured was important, was precious to get us to this place. Milashon Shir, we're privy to seeing the full circle. And so it was not only the ness of the Yam that led to this overflow of song, but it was also the appreciation or the recognition of the pain that was necessary to get us to this place. And thus, Klal Yisrael sang. But there's more. In a beautiful comment of the Nachlat David, actually referring to the song that Chizkiyahu HaMelech did not sing when he beheld the Nes, the miracle, of the downfall of the Assyrian army that had surrounded Yerushalayim when he was king. This takes place in Sefer Menachem Bet. We are told that Chizkiyahu could not become Mashiach, though perhaps he was personally worthy, because when this miracle took place, he did not sing. And the question is asked of how important is that? He did say thank you. He did acknowledge and recognize the miracle. What is the critical nature of the song that when he did not sing, that disqualified him from being the Mashiach? And the Nachlat David explains the function of song, not only as being the reaction of a neshama that's overwhelmed and exalted, but further. He explains that it's not only song, it's not only the recognition of now, but it is also the mechanism with which we take that which we're experiencing or enjoying now, and we imprint or brand it into our neshama as something that will last forever. We all know that there are inspirations or impressions that we think we will never, ever, ever forget for the rest of our lives. 6 months later, or 5 minutes later, we find ourselves back where we were before. Says the Nachlat David, Shira, song, is a tool with which we take an experience or an inspiration that we have enjoyed, and through the medium of song, we actually imprint that onto our neshama, onto our soul. So this becomes an eternal and lasting expression that we can come back to as long as the song continues to be sung. The song of Az Yashir is not just a musical rendition of what happened at the sea. The song of Az Yashir is the vehicle through which we Jews for all generations can dip back into the Yeshua that took place then. The song is the way in which we keep that memory fresh and bring the Yeshua towards Nitzchiut. And every time we sing the song of Az Yashir, we're back at the sea. And we're back at a moment of things coming full circle and being able to point and say, Ze keli ve'anvehu. This is my God, and I will beautify him and glory in the closeness we feel now. When we as Jews in today's day and age sing the Animamin, composed in the cattle cars as Jews went to find their deaths in Auschwitz, we're not remembering those Jews. We are reliving the Emunah that they poured into these words, that they put to song, clutching on to their belief in God as they went to their deaths. This is the Nitzchi power, the power of song to take any element or Yeshua or impression and preserve it towards forever. Apply to Chizkiyahu. The role of Mashiach is to bring the awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to all people, lanetzach, for all time. If Chizkiyahu missed the opportunity through Shira, through song, to bring the impact of his Yeshua, of his miracle, to his generation, lanetzach, and then for all time, then he missed the basic mission of Mashiach and could not fulfill that role. This perhaps leads us to the second comment of Rashi over here on Az Yashir, then leading to the future, and says Rashi that this here is actually a reference to Triat Hamitim, to the future time when Moshe and all of the Jews of that generation and every generation will be resurrected from the dead and will sing the final and most glorious song when all of history comes full circle. And we look back and see how all the pieces of everything that was painful and everything that was hard was necessary, was precious, to bring us to the place of Geula where we will sing the ultimate song. Because again, Shira, song, is the vehicle that brings us towards Nitzchiut, that brings us towards the eternity. And so it makes sense that there is this component of the Triat HaMetim within it. It's an interesting thing about this song. An interesting question brought by Rav Shimon Schwab in the Sefer Mayan Beit HaShoeva, where he brings up the point that we speak of the song of Klal Yisrael as one of the most glorious moments in our history. On the other hand, we find, brought in Masechet Megillah, Daf Yud, that the Malachim, the angels, at the time of Kriyat Yam Suf, wanted also to sing a song. Replied HaKadosh Baruch Hu to them, the product of my hand, meaning the Mitzrim, are drowning, and you will sing? This is puzzling. The Malachim were not allowed to sing, and the Jews reached their highest heights when they did. Why were we supposed to, and they were not allowed to? Explains Rav Schwab. The nature or the makeup of a Malach is that he is created for only one shlichut. He is created for one mission, and exists only for that one mission. As such, the malach, the angel, is not capable of completing two missions at once, nor is the malach capable of containing or balancing two conflicting emotions at once. A malach does not have the capacity, on the one hand, to mourn the dead Egyptians, and on the other hand, to exult in the deliverance of the Jewish people. They cannot do both at once. Contrast to the most beautiful creature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is man. Where Rav Schwab calls humankind bar bet shlichyot, a creature that is capable of more than one mission at a time. A Jew has the capacity to hold, to deal with conflicting missions. We as women know, we try to be everything to everybody, and that's not always easy, but we can, and therefore we do. And the Jew can also hold conflicting emotions at once. We can cry for the dead and rejoice in the life at the very same time. And it sometimes feels like our hearts will break from the different directions in which it's pulled. But this is the concept of song. It's the concept of these songs of David HaMelech, which on the one hand were triumph and exaltation, and on the other hand were sung from the depths of the bitterest tears. But there was always a song, because there was always an eye towards Nitzchiyut. A Jew is a creation that can reconcile, integrate, hold more than one mission at a time, more than one emotion at a time. Because we can, we must. And that is how we go through the Galut and towards the Geula, sometimes crying, but while the tears fall, we're still singing, because we know that we carry these Yeshuot with us, Lenetzach, that will take us to the final Yeshua. And of course, woman to woman, we know that we as women have that very, very special role in the song. It was Klal Yisrael as a whole, on beholding this great nes, this great miracle, who overflowed with song. But it was the women who knew that would happen and took their tambourines with them when they ran out of Mitzrayim, because they were certain, as we all are, all the time, till we have that appointment with the last song of Nitzriyut, that there always is, and there always will be, a reason to sing.